The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, Tony D, Ron Culver. Two big stories today that we'll get into. Kyler Murray has made the decision. He's going to go to the NFL. He's going to spurn Major League Baseball and head to the National Football League. The combine is at the end of the month. He was expected to report to spring training in a couple of days for the Oakland A's. But instead, he'll go to the NFL, where the enthusiasm for Murray is really at a peak. You know, for what he could bring to the draft, what he could bring to the team. He's small, but no one seems to be bothered by this. They're projecting him to be a first-round pick. Some have got him, you know, round two, round three level type of player. But I don't know, man. He was exciting in college. There'll be some team that'll take him in round one. Kyler Murray, this is a tough decision. There's health issues at stake, longevity at stake, chance to bust out in the NFL, get hurt and never see a field again, or just bounce around as a journeyman, whereas a career, long career, a successful Major League Baseball player could have had long-term financial implications. Also, the story, Kareem Hunt has found a home. He has now signed a one-year deal with the Cleveland Browns. He's going to play for John Dorsey, who drafted him when he was with Kansas City. Hunt has found a home, like many people thought he would. He's on the commissioner's exempt list, so he needs to get off of that to play, but he can reasonably show up to meetings in the facility, he can work out, and he can be part of the Cleveland Browns as they prepare for the upcoming season. But this is something that the league has, you can't stop this. Like, there's just no reasonable solution. You can talk about banning guys for life, but the reality of it is it's really hard to do. Even when there is video, it's just hard to do. It's just not a good look. When you have a guy that's accused and you can see on video some domestic violence and it's a problem and you know he has a problem, it's a tough situation for the NFL to be in, because they don't want to collude against a player, but at the same time, they don't want to be dealing with this, and now they're going to be dealing with this. Kareem Hunt is too talented not to be in the NFL, but he also has an issue that needs to be resolved, and that's personal. That's a big problem. Ask Ray Rice, who's doing everything he can to better his life, but he never played in the NFL again. We'll get to these stories coming up, and you can hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Also, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's, as we roll along on SB Nation Radio. Coming up, Kyler Murray. Did he make the right decision to go to the NFL? SB Nation AM.
Kane is in the building.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray is heading to the NFL draft. He is not going to play Major League Baseball. The A's drafted him 9th overall in round one. Got about a little over $4 million bonus. He's going to have to give that back. Well, he was due a bonus. He got like $1.5 million. He's got to give that back, and he was going to be due a bonus on March 1st. But he won't get any of that. He'll head to the NFL draft, the combine in the end of the month, and then the draft in April. Right choice? Well, it depends on how you look at it. Now, listen, there's a part of me that wants to believe that Kyler Murray and his camp sat down and really did the hard thought process that it takes when you come to a decision like this. The long-term viability of both sports, the economics of both sports. Where is baseball headed? Potential lockout in a couple of years. Where is his talent really in the NFL? Not getting overhyped by what he reads on Twitter, not getting overhyped by what Mel Kiper and Todd McShay tell him, but real football analysis, real football, where you could be, like, legitimately, are you a real number one first round pick, let's say, in that kind of stuff. But I also, and this is something that I think for a young kid, I wouldn't put past, but it's also possible that he chose the thing that gets him more hyped up. And that is playing football. Ray Ratto at Deadspin, and longtime columnist out in the Bay Area and really good writer, had a great headline for his column on this. Kyler Murray wanted football more than baseball wanted Kyler Murray. And that's true. And that is a very true statement. And that's a very accurate statement. In fact, it's completely well said. When you look at, if you look at where Kyler Murray was heading, it's really no surprise that football had him and had him by every ounce of his body. Because he was allowed to go play at Oklahoma. Remember, he was a backup to Baker Mayfield. But the A's could have said, listen, we drafted you and we don't want you to play for Oklahoma. If you want to do this, you got to do this now. We're not going to risk it. You can't play for it. If they had said that, then we might have a different decision. I say might because I don't know what's going on in his head, but we might have a different decision. Kyler Murray was the starting quarterback at Oklahoma. Now, you let that sink in for a little bit. That was not the starting quarterback at some Division II school. He was not the starting quarterback at some Division III school. He was not the starting quarterback of some bad football team that was playing Division I but went 5-6. He played at Oklahoma, one of the top programs in college football, where you own the state. Practically, was split it with Oklahoma State. But you pretty much own the state. And you're on a high-profile team with a high-profile coach and a high-profile offensive system that produced the number one draft pick the year before and the Heisman Trophy winner the year before. He's a star in the state, and he's leading them to the college football playoff. And that means every week people want to know what he's thinking, what he's doing. He's got this adrenaline from the position. He's the big man on campus, but he's the big man in the college football world. He won the Heisman Trophy. He got them to a playoff game. Came back against Alabama a little bit, right? I mean, they were trailing by a ton, and then he kind of made the game a little close before, but not close enough. But that adrenaline is hard to wear off. So imagine going from that to long bus rides, motels, paychecks that are pretty small, playing minor league baseball, earning your way up, climbing the ladder, showcasing your skills, and hope they catch on as you move up and get to the major league roster. The adrenaline of playing football is already in his blood. He's a month or so removed from his last college football game. And everybody is talking about him. Everybody is talking about him being a first-round pick. And if you're a quarterback, that means you're going to be the franchise quarterback. It either means you're going to be the franchise quarterback the second you get there, or you're behind a guy that's not long for the job. And that adrenaline that he got from playing at Oklahoma is carrying through. So there's two ways to think about this. Again, do I want to believe that him and all the other adults in the room made the best financial decision and the best career decision? Sure. But is there also an idea that maybe, just maybe, he's still jacked up from being a quarterback that he wants to continue to do? That's something you can't give away. If you got a taste of that life, it is hard to give up. Now, think about whatever position you're in. Think about whatever job you have. If there's multiple facets of the job. I'll give you an example in my profession, right? If you get into broadcasting, especially in sports broadcasting, there are a number of things you can do with that. You can be a talk show host. You can be a play-by-play announcer. You can be an anchor and a reporter that covers breaking news. There's different ways you can, there's a different positions you can do in this field, right? But if all things are equal, meaning you're very good at all three of them, which one do people tend to take? The one that gives them the most adrenaline, the one that excites them the most. Maybe not the one that's got more long-term viability or more economic success, the one that they like the most, the one that fills them with the kind of joy and excitement. Maybe that's what's going on with Kyler Murray right now. Maybe he loves baseball, but maybe baseball, as Ray Ratto points out, doesn't love him back the way football right now loves him back. Is anybody in baseball talking about Kyler Murray being an immediate star with the Oakland A's? Is anybody in baseball trying to change the rules so he can be a star immediately with the Oakland A's? Nobody's doing any of that. But baseball, despite his size, they're telling him he's going to be a first-round pick. You know what that means. I know what that means, and Kyler Murray knows what that means. That means he's going to get on a plane, he's going to land in a city somewhere in the NFL, and he's going to be an immediate show. His jerseys are going to sell. He's going to be the center of attention like he was at Oklahoma. He's not going to play in the middle of nowhere USA riding a bus, where he has to earn his name back into public prominence. Instead, he is going to be the face of a franchise, just like he was at Oklahoma. And I'm telling you, when you're a young man, that is hard to give away. I almost feel bad for athletes in the college level, on the upper college level, who play their final game, who are not going to the draft, right? Who are not going to play. You just know, there's just kids are, the guys are going to go off and become accountants. They're going to have desk jobs. They're going to do whatever their career, their major lend them to be. They don't have a future in the National Football League, and they're not going to be playing in the AAFL or the XFL or anything. They went to school. They played college football. They got their chemical engineering degree, and now they're going to go be a chemist. Because that rush, that excitement, that 90,000 people in the SEC, and everybody wanting a piece of you, everybody wanting to know everything about you, that's hard to give away. It's hard to give away. I can only understand from Kyler Murray's perspective, and we can argue all we want about the economics. Oh, he would have made more money if he was a star in the Major League Baseball because you can play until you're 40. He could get hurt. I don't know if this decision is based on that. And again, I'm not in his camp. I'm not in his head. I don't know how this was put together. But I do know I would not be surprised if in the end he just said, you know what, guys? I just like football. I just like football more. And I'm excited. I'm excited in the couple of months of where this is going to take me. I'm going to go to Nashville. I'm going to be drafted. And then I'm going to go on a plane and I'm going to be a starting quarterback somewhere. And I just like this. And by this meaning the 70, 80,000 people that are going to be at games cheering on him, because that is just something you just can't grab and pluck out of a guy's system. So again, and we'll talk about this. I mean, we'll talk about this throughout the show today, whether this was the right decision or not, because on the outside, yeah, there's going to be analysis that is worthy of this kind of debate. Did he make the right decision? What if he becomes Teddy Bridgewater, who was drafted in the first round and was a starting quarterback and had all the promise in the world, and then gets hurt and bounces around a bit, now trying to find a starting home? Or what if he becomes Baker Mayfield and is just lighting up the league and everybody's talking about him in the offseason? It's one half dozen or the other. But Kyler Murray is going to be playing football. And really, to be honest with you, when you think about it and you really start processing it, what we saw of him this past season, what we saw of him in January, and what we've been hearing or just analyzing in the last couple of weeks since his season ended in early January, it's really not that much of a surprise. 800-777-2907, your thoughts on that. We'll continue this conversation because I still find it fascinating about dual sports and guys that have to come up with this decision. Major League Baseball, is it a bad look for them? We'll continue that conversation. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, make your tax refund go further at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you've been delaying some much-needed car maintenance, delay no longer. Spend a little of your tax refund on your vehicle now and save on expensive repairs down the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts has exactly what you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. As we continue to break down Kyler Murray's decision to head to the NFL, this does say some things about baseball, their inability to sort of capitalize on this moment. This was a big deal when he got drafted by the A's, because I don't know about you, Ron, but I remember when he got drafted, I thought, well, he's going to go play baseball, right? I mean, that's
of course.
He'll play at Oklahoma, but he's going to go be a major league baseball player.
No, we always talk about that because there's, you know, longevity in football is really hard to obtain.
It's very hard
but
to obtain.
But longevity
right?
in baseball, once you make it to the show and if you can prove that you're there, that you deserve to be there, you can have a really good career. You may not have a Hall of Fame type career, but hey, I mean, you know, you can have a long career. We've seen terrible players be able to stretch their career out just because of, you know, what they can do.
Yeah, exactly. And in your 30s, you can still get a 2-year deal worth $3 million, right? Like,
yeah.
You can still get, like, that's the kind of stuff that just doesn't happen in the NFL. Like, you could be 35, and if you can still swing a bat a little bit, yeah, a guy might pay you to be, you know, utility outfielder / DH, or whatever it is that you can do with your bat, and they'll sign you to, you know, $3.5 million for 2 years or something along those lines in your late 30s, right? And but in baseball, football, forget it. I mean, football, you'd be lucky to get on a roster in your late 30s. If you probably won't, especially a quarterback. You probably are not likely going to do that.
Yeah, unless you've already made yourself a star by the time you're 30, the teams are already looking at you like, all right, you know, prove yourself.
Yeah.
Are you worth us keeping a spot open? I mean, we see it all the time, especially with running backs. You know, by the time they turn 30, you're all of a sudden looking at them like, okay, you know, how many Pro Bowls did you make? You know, how many times did you lead the league in rushing? Oh, never? Oh, well, you're getting relegated.
Well, you know what? This is where the draft analysis comes in two spots, right? There is the draft analysis where I take a guy, I don't care what the needs are, I don't care what the buzz is, I don't care about anything. I evaluate this guy based on where I think he should go in the draft. Right. And then there's the draft analysis. It takes into consideration hype. It takes into teams. It takes into what's the quarterback class like, you know, where would he fit amongst the quarterbacks and the teams that need a quarterback, and then says he will likely go. And I think those are the two camps. Right. There are those people who say based on his size, he's a second to third round pick. Then there are people who say, size will be irrelevant here. This guy's going in the first round. He just is. You know, very, very similar to Tim Tebow. Fourth, fifth round pick for Tebow, but he went in the first round because there was somebody willing to go, yeah, you know what? I like him. I don't care what you say. And that was Josh McDaniels of the Broncos. That's the kind of thing you have to kind of weigh. What he is saying is, look, you may evaluate me as a third round pick, but that's not where I'm going. I'm going in round one, according to the people that know the league and follow the league. And if that's the case, then he probably did make the right decision. But again, I remember that summer day. Do you remember when Teddy Bridgewater got hurt?
Oh, of course. Minnesota?
Remember guys were throwing their helmets. They, as he was getting carted off the field, the season was gone, right? I mean, they were so ticked.
Some, not only were some throwing their helmets, some were actually literally throwing up.
Yeah.
Because they could not, it was such a gruesome injury. And they were, I mean, their first report we'd really heard, because, you know, really no videotape on it, you know, reports coming out of Vikings camp was sketchy. But they were, you know, like a day later, it was like, yeah, they might have to amputate his leg.
Oh, my God, it was terrible.
And we're like,
right? It was terrible.
What possibly could you have done to amputate your leg?
And listen, so I understand. Listen, that might be an extreme, right? But it's a possibility.
It's a reality
every single time. It's a reality every single time. And listen, the list of guys in whatever position, right? Name your doesn't even matter. The list of guys in the NFL that were once this can't miss. He was going to take us to the and literally became a journeyman bouncing around the league because of injury is long enough. And that's what you have to consider. But I think it goes back to what I was saying before. I think this is an adrenaline decision, or at least has got to be in the factor.
I don't think you can just leave that lifestyle. I don't think you can just walk away from that when it can continue. When somebody is telling you you can have more of it. 80,000 people. Every week, people are paying attention to you all the time. You're not only the big man on campus, you're the biggest man on campus. And people are telling you that here you can get paid for this and you can continue what you just had. I think there's part of the reason that he went to the NFL was to get more of what he's getting in Oklahoma. Minor league baseball is a grind. We get it. But the promise of getting the majors is what gets guys through it. But it's not a good life. It doesn't pay very well. The hotels stink. The per diem stinks. The stadium stink. I mean, it's not a good life. You do it to get a prize at the end. But what if the prize is given to you almost this, you know, right now?
Right. And that's the thing to really consider is that still to this day, I mean, he's not coming into it, you know, highly touted as like, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. was or A-Rod was back in the day when, you know, they were chosen number one overall. And you just knew like, you know, these guys are bona fide stars.
Yeah. Eventually they'll get there. And they'll get there quick.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if did Ken Griffey Jr. even spend any time in minor leagues. I don't. Right. It just seems to me it's like, oh, you're just, you know, starting center fielder now. But, you know, with Kyler Murray, we don't know where he was going to be in baseball. We don't know what he was going to be in baseball. He could have been, you know, wallowing around in minor leagues for 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah,
playing in front of like 3,000 people.
That's what we said this before. What if he gets there and he can't hit the major league level curveball?
Right.
Right. Or he can't hit the, it's one thing to hit it in college, but what if you can't hit it on the next level? You can't hit it and you struggle with it. There's hardly any patience for that. Like you have to be able to do it. If you can't do it, you become a very easy out, right? And so you have to do it right away. Now, again, there'd be the counter argument will be, yeah, but running an NFL offense is a lot different than running Lincoln Riley's offense, right? He's not going to have the kind of opportunity to do the same things in the NFL. I get it. But at the same time, nobody's telling him right now that he has to work his way up to become a starter in the NFL. People are telling him he'll be a starter in the NFL the second he gets to town. Right. So he doesn't have to try to prove that there'll be a number one. He'll be a first round pick by somebody, which means there is value on both ends. Right. That the team doesn't want to waste it by putting him behind quarterbacks and develop. That's not what you do with a quarterback you draft in the first round. That's what you do with the quarterback you draft in the third round. Right. And at the same time, he is going to be able to just play until he either gets it right or busts out.
I mean, I'm looking at his 2018 baseball stats. Obviously with Oklahoma, he was he hit for .296. Now I don't know if that's really good enough in college baseball.
I would think
you would need to hit more. I mean, he had
I thought so too.
10 home runs, 10 stolen bases.
They have aluminum bats for crying out loud!
Yeah,
right?
You know, he had 56 hits and 189 at bats. I just think that, you know, if you're in college baseball, should you be hitting like 400? 500? I mean, I could be wrong.
I don't know. I don't follow college baseball enough.
Right. But I just feel like if you're going to be a stud at the major league level, or if you're going to progress through, you know, the farm system quickly, go from AA, AAA, you know, and get called up, that you need to be doing a lot better than, you know, having a slash of .296, .398, .556. I mean.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good point. That's a good point. But Billy Bean liked him.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's the thing. You know, how many other baseball teams who don't, you know, base it off of what Billy Bean does, you know, having the money ball attitude, how many other teams would really take a look at him?
Yeah, and listen, I go back to what Ray Ratto said about baseball not liking him enough. And that's such a true statement. I love that. That was such a great line because when you really think about it, it was true. How the NFL people, I should say, the people that cover the league that really, you know, the personnel, they were fawning over him despite his size, right? People would say, well, what about his size? And they go, Drew Brees and Russell Wilson. Look over there. Drew Brees and Russell Wilson. And they're like, okay. And Baker Mayfield's only 6'1". So there was apologists almost immediately for this, whereas baseball was like, well, I'll have to work his way up through the minor league system and we'll see. Baseball should have said, no, we'll figure out a way to get him in a major league lineup as quickly as we can. Let's work within the framework of the rules so we can do something like this. Baseball instead was like, nope, it's, you know, you got to go play at Rancho Cucamonga for a while and then we'll evaluate whether or not we'll move you up to Reno. It's like,
he's not going to
really?
I think the A's still have a farm team in Modesto, California.
Is that a nice part of California?
I don't know if you've ever been there. No, I've
never been there.
Modesto's claim to fame is that's where I think American Graffiti was filmed.
Oh, God. Okay. Really?
So, and you know what? It really hasn't changed much since American Graffiti was filmed there.
Yeah, man. It's...
I mean, there's really...
Minor League Baseball is filled with cheesy promotions, middle of nowhere towns, no coverage.
Now, I will say this. Minor League Baseball definitely has better hats.
Yeah, they're true.
They definitely have better hats. But
you know what? You could hit four home runs. Listen to this. If you play in the minors, right, you could hit four home runs. Oh, better yet, just make it so that you come to the plate five times and you hit five home runs in a game. You know what you get? Like a kicker thing on SportsCenter. Like, that's what you get. Like, oh, and by the way, down in Montgomery, he had five home runs. Look at this. Bam, bam, bam. It's not a major story. You're not making major news. It's almost like a laugh, not a laughable thing, but just like, hey, that's cute. The guy in minor league baseball hit five home runs in a game. Throw five touchdown passes your rookie year in the NFL. Everybody's talking about you. Everybody, you're the headline news.
Yeah.
You're the major story across the country. He wants that today. And that's what I think he's looking for. All right, coming up, Roger Goodell has responded to the Louisiana... They can't get over this. To the Louisiana governor's concern about the Saints. What, 3 weeks ago? We're still buzzing about this? Goodell had his answer, and I'll tell you next on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Enter to win a trip to watch Cactus League Baseball out in Arizona. It's the SB Nation Radio Spring Training Getaway presented by Talking Stick Resort. Winner will receive a two-night stay at the luxurious Four Diamond Talking Stick Resort in Scottsdale. I've been there. It's awesome. Two tickets to see both the Cubs and Rockies and Brewers versus Diamondbacks play March 23rd and 24th at Salt River Fields and a $500 Visa gift card. You'll love that. Head to springtraininggetaway.com. That's springtraininggetaway.com. Enter today. That's springtraininggetaway.com. Oh, that is a great, great place in Scottsdale. That's where the Rockies have been.
I lived in Arizona for a year, right? In Phoenix, Arizona for a year. And I can't tell you how awesome spring training is in Phoenix.
I love it.
Games are cheap. It's like going to a minor league game, but you're seeing professional players.
Oh, it's the best. I remember the Rockies used to be in Tucson, and we used to go down there for spring training. We'd broadcast live down there. And then they moved to this facility, and I'm telling you.
Everyone knows, they kind of share it with the Diamondbacks, but yeah. I mean, oh my God.
Holy mackerel. I mean, this is, maybe remember like when I was a kid, minor league was always like, the spring training, I should say, like in Florida, was always like some little park in the middle of nowhere, right?
Step up from your normal recreation center.
Yeah, exactly. Like your rec league baseball field, like these guys would play, and it would be manicured as best it could, but it was still, you could tell. Now you watch these games in places like the Talking Stick Resort where Talking Stick Fields are. It's awesome. It's fantastic. Yeah. They're there for like a month, but that's where they keep, that's where they'll send you to go work out, whatnot. But still, it's mind boggling how awesome it is.
Yeah,
it's
really incredible. When I was there, they were building it.
Yeah.
But when that spring training came around, that was the first year that it was open. And it was just, oh God, you just walk in like, I can't believe this is spring training field.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. By the way, the resort has great dining options, lounges, two championship golf courses. They got a great showroom with live entertainment, a state-of-the-art casino, outdoor pools, 13,000 square feet of luxury renovation spa. So this is something you want to get into, springtraininggetaway.com. All right, so how many weeks was it since the championship games? Three, it's right?
Yeah, not enough weeks? Time, Tony.
Not enough time because the Saints... I get it. I'm telling you to get over something that I am not affected by. I understand. So it stinks when an outsider tells. It's one thing if it's one of your own, like if Drew Brees came out and said, hey guys, let's chill out a little bit. We're going to come back next year strong. You go, all right, Drew Brees told us to calm down. a Steeler fan telling you to get over it, I get it. I can understand the resentment. John Bel Edwards, the governor of Louisiana, had written a letter to Roger Goodell, and Goodell finally responded. He said, all right, he's not going to invoke Rule 17 that says he could overturn the result of a game because of officiating error. He said he will not do that. Listen, and I agree with that. I think we said this the week of the Super Bowl when we were down at Atlanta, when he gave his State of the League address. I agree with it because practically, I don't like this idea. I don't like this slippery slope. It's kind of catastrophe waiting to happen. If the commissioner enacts this power for one thing, when would it stop? How many times does he have to be bothered by answering fans? Well, you did it for the Bengals. You did it for the Rams. You did it for the Patriots. You did it for the Jets. How come you didn't overrule the game when there was an egregious holding call on their second quarter touchdown that cost us the game we lost by four? It would never end. Would never end. So what he did do, which I liked, at least, in answering this letter. He said, I fully understand your personal disappointment and the disappointment and frustration of Saints fans throughout the country. As you know, immediately following the game, our head of officiating told Coach Payton that a penalty should have been called on the play in question. I have expressed the same view to both Mrs. Benson and Coach Payton, as well as during my press conference on January 30th. Our rules do not permit the commissioner to overturn the result of a game because of an officiating error, and I believe that it would be wrong for me to do so, as I mentioned before. Nor have the clubs supported an expansion of replay to review decisions by game officials to call or not to call a penalty on the field. That said, I agreed that it is incumbent on us to review this issue closely to determine if there's changes in our rules or procedures that would prevent a similar occurrence in the future. Okay, this is a way to say, I can't change it, but I can change it going forward. And if that's not good enough, I don't know what else to tell you.
So basically what you're saying is Saints are in the Super Bowl next year. Doesn't matter what you do. You know, Vegas should come out with the odds and just say Saints, you know, it's like 1-1.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, right?
Guaranteed to be in the Super Bowl.
Guaranteed. Listen, and by the way, fans, you don't want this. You do not want the commissioner doing this. Because, man, there is some finality to a game, whether you're disappointed or elated, that you want to have when you're done with the game, when the game is over. Remember we were talking about this with NASCAR? Let's say you're just a diehard Jimmy Johnson fan. Diehard Jimmy Johnson fan. And you're going to Kansas. You go to one race a year. You got the 48 everywhere. You're wearing his hat, the jacket, whatever. Diehard. You buy garage passes so you can see his garage and take pictures. Hopefully get his autograph. And then he wins the Kansas race. And then you leave that track and you're like, man, I saw my favorite driver win the race. I'm so excited. It was such a great day. And then the next day you find out that, you know, some piece of lead was on the right side of the car. And whoops, that violates the rules. And now, you know, William Byron has won the race because he came in second. That's just, you don't want that. You don't want this either. When the game is over and you're saying to yourself, we are on to the next round, or we are on to the Super Bowl, or we are now leading the division. And then 2 days later, the NFL goes, nah, that you don't want this.
You know what? I think Roger Goodell should invoke Rule 17 and let's replay the NFC Championship game next weekend and then Super Bowl 2 weeks from now.
You know what? That actually is something I would support, because the Super Bowl was such a dog and boring game that maybe if we can get a do-over with that, that wouldn't be so bad.
You know, I mean, if the AAF keeps, builds on the success, that'll start, you know, that threatens the NFL.
Oh, by the way, you know what I've been hating hearing from people? Because, you know, I spent my week in Atlanta, and ever since I've gotten back, people are like, man, you were down for the Super Bowl? I'm like, yeah, they got the most boring Super Bowl ever. I'm like, don't rain on my parade. I had a good week. I had fun while I was down
there.
Well,
you know,
tell me I attended the most boring Super Bowl ever, or been around, you know, covering the most boring Super Bowl ever.
We just dissected it last week, you know, ad nauseum. I mean, yeah, you know what you guys can say is the most boring Super Bowl ever, but it was also one of the greatest defensive performances ever.
Like a fine wine, we will come to appreciate the brilliance of both defensive coaches in this game. We will absolutely grow to respect this.
Got to give it time. 20 years from now, we'll say, man, that was a great game.
Yep. You'll say,
well, I don't know if we'll ever say it was a great game, but...
Maybe we'll appreciate it more, right? We will absolutely appreciate it. So I don't know if this placates the governor of Louisiana, who's probably just doing this for votes. And he probably doesn't care. He's probably like, oh, you know what? I want to make sure I care for the
people.
You
wouldn't say he's pandering to the good people of New Orleans for votes.
That's not
something that politicians do.
I take that back. Of course not. This is a personal letter that he wrote for his own personal appeasement. Did you like that guy in Congress that had like the blow up of the play and everything? Like that looked embarrassing to me. Is that right? Like, no, that just seemed...
You know what? This needs to go to the Supreme Court. Exactly. I'm curious to know what Ruth Gator or Bader Ginsburg has to say on this.
Yeah, I do too. I want to know what David Souter has to say about this.
You know, what is on the mind of Clarence Thomas when it comes to what the Saints, God. You know, how the Saints got royally screwed?
It's so, politicians, when they get involved in sports, sometimes they're just so embarrassingly
pleased. Yeah, just be a awful. Fan. I mean,
just
you know what?
Just be a fan. You know,
say that was terrible and then move on.
My friend runs political campaigns, and he started out in South Carolina. Now he does it all over the place. But like, he's a guy you hire. Let's say you're interested in running for Congress. You don't know where to start. You don't know where to get money. You don't know how to get all the things you need to run a campaign. My friend's company is who you hire, and then they handle everything, right? They handle your PR, the signs, the buttons, the T-shirts. They get you in, you know, they book you in places. They do the polling, right? So he was telling me once, he said, in South Carolina, he ran into this problem where he would have candidates who were born in South Carolina, raised in South Carolina. They love the state. They want to run for governor. They want to run for senator. And inevitably, there's always some guy that goes, hey, are you a Clemson or South Carolina fan? And let's say they went to Harvard, right? Or they went to another school. They went to North Carolina. But in that state, that's kind of a cool, like, that's how you differentiate yourself in South Carolina. I'm a Gamecock or a Tiger. So he said he had all these candidates, and they would always say, you know, I like both. And he would just cringe because he's like, take one or the other. You'll have more respect from the people. Like, don't do that. Like, South Carolina fans would vote for you if you're a Clemson Tiger because they at least respect that you have a side. The guy they don't like is the one that goes, he likes both, because nobody likes both. That's stupid. John Edwards did this in North Carolina. Remember the senator from, was he a senator? Everything ran for vice president. They asked him, like, Duke or North Carolina? He goes, I like both. And they're like, oh, you, no, you can't like both. Yes. That's stupid. What's wrong with you?
You can't
nobody
be,
likes both.
You can't be in love with your wife and your girlfriend at the same
exactly,
time.
Exactly, exactly, right? So he always advised the candidates, just trust me, take one or the other. Don't worry about ticking off the other side. They're not going to be that mad at you that they won't vote for you if they like your positions. But they'll respect you tremendously if you at least say, I'm a Gamecock through and through. Tiger fans will go, all right, I hate that, but you know what? I respect it because you took a side. But these politicians are like, oh, I don't know which way to go.
They're just so afraid of making someone mad.
I know they're so afraid. Of it, some, right?
I mean, they're that sorority girl that just desperately needs to be liked by everybody.
Exactly. No, that's exactly right. Exactly. And this is like these congressmen that get up with the big blow ups of the play, and they're like, they're just looking at the constituents and going, "Don't please look what I'm doing. Look, I'm on your side.
I'm fighting your fight.
I honestly don't care about this at all, but I'm pretending to on the floor of Congress. You can't get any better than that, people.
Yeah, they're sitting there
remember
with the blow
this.
Up. Yeah, they've got the blow-up photo. Like, this was an egregious play in baseball.
Exactly. And the New Orleans Saints were robbed against the St. Louis, L.A. Rams. Oh, this is an outrage. Yeah, of course. Politicians. Crazy. Oh, goodness gracious. All right, coming up next, Phil Mickelson won at Pebble Beach, and what he said made me go, okay, I'll forgive Phil. That's coming up next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Man, I love Phil Mickelson. He won the AT&T Monday, wrapping up round four. He's like 48. Give me... years old, fifth time he's won the event. But on Sunday, when they were wrapping up the round, and Paul Casey was like, I can't play anymore, it's too dark. And Paul Casey had like three holes left, Mickelson had like two holes left. Mickelson was like, ugh. He was like so mad that they had to go wait and say, he's like, I can see. So they had to come back Monday morning and play golf. And then afterwards, he said he was wrong. He said, you know what? Paul Casey made the right call. It was too dark. You know, you got to protect the field. You got to protect the competition. There's more at stake than just winning a tournament. There's positioning and FedEx points and things like that. But just the sigh and just the Mickelson. Let me just put this in perspective. Mickelson was mad that he had to stay an extra night at a luxury resort hotel to wake up on the beautiful shores of the Pacific Ocean to play the final two holes of Pebble Beach to collect a $1.6 million check. That's what he was griping about on Sunday night. Ugh, I got to go home, go have a steak dinner, lay in my luxury room, get up and head out to the 17th hole at Pebble Beach to finish up a tournament, collect my check, get on my private plane and go home. That's what he was mad about Sunday night. Good God, he lives a completely different life than I do.
Yep.
Completely.
No, I mean, you know, maybe it is. Maybe it is a pain in the butt to, you know, stay in a hotel that where the bed had been made for you, no questions asked, and then you wake up and there's a breakfast prepared for you. I mean, maybe that is, you know, annoying, and we just don't know it.
You mean I got to stay an extra day here, one of the most beautiful places in the world? What? This isn't the John Deere Open, for crying out loud. I don't even know what the John Deere Open is. I'm sorry.
Is
I
shouldn't
have made that reference. But you know what I'm saying? This is Pebble Beach, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it's not like he's playing as some, you know, Muni in Nebraska.
Exactly. He got up Monday morning, right, went down to the immaculate driving range, warmed up. Him and his caddy went to the 17th hole, one of the most picturesque holes in golf, played that. Then went to the 18th, one of the most iconic holes in all of golf, played that, waited for Casey to finish, and then collected his, what, $1.6 million check.
Yep.
Maybe had a little lunch, maybe hit a few more balls, maybe hung out with some sponsors.
Yeah, but it's annoying,
Tony. Got on his Gulfstream 5 and went home.
He doesn't, you know, you just need to have a picture of him and go, you know, so I wish somebody came up to him and says, oh, somebody has a case of the Mondays. Because obviously he didn't want to work on a Monday like most of us. I mean, it's a grind. You know, golfers don't usually work on Mondays.
We make a lot of money, but we spend a lot of money too. God, that's great. Way to go, Mickelson. That's so awesome. But you know what? Mickelson, like, he's never had like a job. Like, he's never had like a...
No,
like,
I mean, maybe he did.
He's been a professional golfer. Well, like, maybe he washed dishes.
Yeah, I mean, back in college, he probably, you know, maybe... I don't know. What? That's something to probably find out, right?
Maybe he worked the driving range picking up balls or something. Yeah, probably had a part-time gig at a golf course or something. But, like, to him, this is... Oh, yeah, I mean, I could stay. I got to stay. I don't want just... Can I just finish this? It's like... But one of the people said, like, oh, well, he was on a roll. Well, be on a roll Monday. How's that? How about be on a roll Monday? You're a professional golfer, for crying out loud.
You're an athlete.
You're an athlete. Get on your private jet and go back to Rancho Santa Fe, California and hang out with your beautiful wife and your immaculate grounds. It's bad you can't. Just to finish up a golf course. I'd love to have played Pebble. I would have played one hole at Pebble Beach on Monday. And you could have picked any hole. It wouldn't have mattered. Even the inland hole. It would have been fine with me, SB Nation Radio.